Hello, my fine friends. How are you today? This is episode 5 of the Destination Discourse Show. We've got an exciting episode today. I'm Stuart Butler from Visit Model Beach, joined today, as always, with Adam Stoker.
Hey, everybody. Hey, by the way,
more
Stuart.
Motion. Come on.
I know. But here's the thing. You kind of threw me with the suit jacket today. I wasn't prepared for such a formal experience. And I don't know. I don't know what to do.
Is that better?
Yeah. Okay. I feel
Took it
much
off.
More comfortable now.
All right. Here we go. We're getting casual today. Do you want me to do a few buttons, Hasselhoff style?
Don't go too far. Don't go too far.
Okay. Good. We're casual, but not that casual.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I think in the first episode, I happened to be wearing a suit as well. It has nothing to do with the show. It just has to do with how important the people I'm meeting that day are. But, you know, if you caught me yesterday, I was probably wearing a soccer shirt, to be fair. That's usually my dress. But anyway, we're being rude, Adam. We're being rude. We have a guest with us today. This is our second ever guest. So for all the trivia nuts out there, that there's going to be a Trivial Pursuit version of this show, right? And so one of the questions is going to be, who was the first guest? That was Will Seckham, as everyone knows. Who was number two? She's certainly not number two. She is number one in my books. Sarah Peter, how are you?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. Now, Sarah, you and I have worked together a little bit in a couple of projects. I got to say, you're one of my favorite sparring partners in the industry because you don't take no nonsense. You give it back to me as hard as I give it. And, you know, I appreciate that. I love it when people tell me I'm wrong. I cry a little bit inside, but outside, I do appreciate it.
So I guess it has to be the right person. I tell Stuart he's wrong all the time, and he doesn't react the same way, Sarah.
Oh, I don't know, Adam. I think the two of you do a pretty nice job of reacting to each other in a good, positive way.
Well, difference.
We brought some diplomacy on the show today. Yeah. I like it.
I'm trying. I mean, we started the show talking about being unbuttoned and like less formal. I feel like I should turn the corner a little bit here in edit two.
There's an adult.
She's the most
room.
Professional of all of us for sure. But I was going to say, Adam, the difference between her and you is I respect her opinion. She's usually right when she's correcting me. So
there
that's
it is.
The big difference. Yeah. So we're going to be talking about this. Is Sarah asked to come on the show. She had a burning topic. If you watching or listening to this have a topic you want to come on, reach out to Adam or me. We'll give you the contact information at the end of the show, and it's in the show notes as well. But this is what this show is about. We want to have debate. We want to have discussion and discourse. We don't know where this conversation is going to go today. It's unscripted. You brought us a topic we're going to talk about in a little bit, Sarah, and we're very excited. Before we jump into the industry's most famous and exciting segment, tell us why people should care about what you have to say today. What do you do? How do you know this industry?
Well, let's see. I know it because I am a human being who likes to travel, which is where we should start all conversations, honestly. I'm curious, which is where I like to think that all of our destination organizations should also begin, right? You need to be inherently curious all the time. No Luggage, my company, was started about 20 years ago. I look great for being in business for that long. But we have been lucky and privileged enough to work with some people to really mine for insight. So No Luggage is a research and strategy boutique. We're small. We are founded because we believe strongly that you can make people's lives better. That's where we come from. This was way before anything about being socially conscious was even on the radar, or before it was even a term. It was about mining for research and insight that had empathy. So that's what we've been doing for 20 years. We've evolved over the past 5 or 6, where we've turned that really into research and empathy to create new products and pilot programs in an industry that has a hard time potentially with seeing themselves as the ability to do research and development and innovation in that way. So you should care, maybe, because I've helped some clients along the way make some really cool products that help people out. And to me, it's just as simple as that.
Awesome. That's a good recap. And at first hand, I've worked with you, and I think you bring a different perspective or you at least did for us. And so we definitely valued your opinion there and happy to have you on the show. So let's Let's jump in to, I mean, I know you're excited. I
I
know
am. You can
everyone
tell I'm
listening is
like jumping
excited.
up and down.
Yeah, this is the greatest segment in destination marketing right now. It's called Stu's News. So I'm going to share my screen. We're going
Stuart.
to talk about this. Yeah.
Okay, how many likes on your LinkedIn post, or how many likes on a short of this video? What's it gonna take for us to use the jingle that I created with
Oh no,
AI?
there's a jingle.
There is a jingle, but I've refused to use it so far. I mean, you've got to create that upswell of support for it, Adam. If you can do that, if you can have enough people res that I
Okay.
respect to come to me and say you got to use the jingle, we'll air the jingle. But
So
until then, I'm not ready, man. I don't think the world is ready, I'll be fair.
here's what I'm gonna do. Okay. I'm gonna post a small snippet of the jingle on LinkedIn. And
Oh
if it
God.
gets over 100 likes or shares or interactions of any kind, we implement the jingle for Stu's News.
Ideal. Let's shake on it. Virtual shake.
Okay. All
All
right.
right.
I'm in.
That's awesome. 100. You heard it here first. I'm a little nervous.
I went a little over under on that. I'm gonna say that Adam, I'll give you $10 if you actually get that engagement and then Stuart allows you to play the jingle. I'll give you $10 if it happens.
Okay, hold on,
Well,
because this is important. You're saying you don't believe Stuart's going to keep his word here. That's
yeah,
what that sounds
I
like to
am
me.
as guest number two, I am
Okay,
100% saying that. I'm glad
wow,
you're here to witness
I'm
this.
hurt.
For the good,
I'm regretting.
honestly, but
Wow, regretting having you on the show right now, Sarah. I gotta say, I'm
no,
like a Lannister.
for the
My
good of
word is my
all.
bond.
This
Man,
is totally happening.
I mean, this is Jinglegate. This is a total controversy, and it's a setup. I think you guys are in cahoots, to be fair. All right, let's jump into it. Let's take a look at Stu's News. So today, and I didn't know this until about 5 minutes ago, Sarah, you were actually here when this was announced. But today's new Stu's News comes from the spacecoastdaily.com, and it's talking about an amazing campaign. I really enjoyed it, and admittedly, I'm a recovering space nerd. But the Space Coast DMO, they put out this campaign that was based on the concept of a countdown, and they even used footage from NASA and audio from NASA real countdowns to sort of talk about the experience you can have. And each of the numbers on the countdown was a different experience on the Space Coast. And not only did they take home an award at the Governor's Conference in Florida for the TV commercial, they also took home one for the radio spot for an integrated campaign, and then the sort of overall best in show sort of thing. So have you guys seen this campaign? What are your thoughts? Do you like it? Do you think they could have done more? What's the verdict here?
I want our guests to go first. Sarah, why don't you start us off?
Of
We talk
course
too
you
much.
do. Well, first, I mean, I think there's a couple thoughts that I have. One, I always love to see something like this, a regional coalition like this, or a region, and doing work that's compelling for a region and a collective is difficult. At best, it's difficult. There's a lot of different stakeholders, a lot of different points of view. And generally speaking, it's hard to do good brand work during that time frame. So I always love to see when someone that's a little smaller but also challenged in that way does good work. And so this was a lesson for I think all of us that sometimes simple is better, right? Sometimes it's like really we make things hard and complicated sometimes. This was really a simple use of an audio that really laid over nicely a creative concept and made people stop in their tracks. So from my
Yeah.
perspective, while I think there are next iterations that could be cool, just that audio, man, and the thought to have that laying over a creative idea for the region, it was brilliant. It was brilliant.
Adam, what do you think?
Well, so I think this is a great example, and I'm with Sarah. Like, spoiler alert, I like it. But I think there's a lot of destinations that have a major attraction pillar that doesn't necessarily tie off with all of the other attractions in the destination. And so what you get in that scenario is usually that primary pillar gets most of the love, And then the rest of the stakeholders are upset and say they get all the love, even though a lot of the traffic that comes to them as a result is because they used the major attractor to drive the visitation, right? And so this was a great way to still promote the primary attractor to the destination, or at least one of the primary attractors for that destination, while still giving love to the other ones, other attractions and other activities that make up the experience as a whole. And it's one of the first campaigns I've seen that I feel like does that successfully, because usually when you try to do that, it's just fun for the whole family, something for everyone, and you end up with kind of a bland creative idea. And this was a good demonstration that you can actually do that successfully.
Yeah, yeah, I love that. I love how they tied it all in. I think the thing that I liked the most about this campaign is it evoked emotion, right? I think everyone has heard that NASA audio in some formal fashion, and it connected with me. And maybe, again, I'm biased, right? I have a undergrad degree that was related to space, but it to me, it felt more personalized and it felt real in a non-artificial way, right? We talk a lot about authenticity in this industry, but we're never really authentic. We're conjuring up authenticity, which is a complete oxymoron. And so we even joke internally about, is this authentic or is it authentically authentic? You know, meaning it's actually really authentic. And so I think for me, this was like, it really did lean on the heart of what this destination represents in a way that connects with the audience, but also told a story about what goes on. And so a lot of DMOs, and I've been critical on stage before and publicly about DMO commercials, not really connecting with people. They're more transactional. They are more that we're everything to everyone and we're authentically real in every way, but they don't really say anything. And so this one, I felt like it just took it to another level that we haven't seen. And the other thing I really like about this commercial is, you know, that every agency that's ever pitched the Space Coast has tried to tie NASA stuff into it, and it's probably been rejected. It's just like in Myrtle Beach, everyone that ever pitches us talks about Vanna White, right? Because she's from Myrtle Beach and she's an institution, and there's a lot of upside there. But we've never really gone that direction until we found good ideas or good connection to that. And so I think hats off to the folks at the DMO, because they've probably heard a million versions of this, but this is one that was executed to perfection. I really, really dig it. But
yeah, and the one thing that I'll add just to that from a creative standpoint, from an agency perspective, is there is something to be said about the power of the five senses. Right. Mm-hmm. We are so focused on visual all the time, which will be part of the topic today. We're so focused on telling the story visually, mm-hmm. that a lot of times we forget, even with things like podcasts that are coming back around, you know, we forget about the power of a visual. And when I first watched the spot, I literally closed my eyes, because that it is such a like audio sort of surprise and delight is mm-hmm. So for anybody that's watching from a destination or advertising perspective, I think, you know, don't forget to attack the problem from multiple angles. Don't forget mm-hmm. to attack the idea from multiple senses, because you'd be surprised at sort of where it could go.
Yeah, it's super immersive. I'd like to talk a little bit about where you think this campaign can go. So Adam and I, a couple of episodes ago, were talking about, it actually may have been last episode, we were talking about the consumer journey. And one of the areas that consumer journey that I think is often overlooked and not capitalized on is the anticipation between when someone books and when they arrive. I would love to see them go all in on that period of the consumer journey with this campaign. So once they know someone's booked, doing the countdown to the stay, and really showcasing everything that's going on and how they can convince people to stay with that one more night, or spend a little bit more money, or have a better experience when they're in town. Like that to me is the obvious next step for this campaign. They may already be doing it. I've only know what I've read online about this campaign, but that to me would be the obvious next step.
See, I thought that episode was about a marketing funnel.
We don't use that term on this show anymore. There is a ban. I'm going to start a list of vetoed banned words that we're just going to bleep out. I may actually bleep it out in post, Adam.
Okay, we don't use funnels. Good. Go ahead, yeah, Sarah.
I mean, I think, not to be an armchair quarterback, because everyone hates that. I'm sure there were lots of there's been lots of time spent
Oh, you're on the wrong show. That's all we do here.
thinking about this, but I think historically destinations jump too quickly to plan, right? They forget about inspiring anticipation. And we all agree on this. We all also, I think, agree that we could do a better job post-trip and starting the anticipation, again for the next. And I think, Stuart, while you see it in the very beginning, I actually might see it in the end. I might actually see it as like a setup to, the next. And like, how interesting and cool could that be? Because it's unexpected. So I think that could be interesting.
It's almost like you watched our last episode because we talked about that post stay afterglow and how that's not leveraged at all by DMAs
Oh.
right now, and that's when people are most likely to want to return. They got that they're missing the destination. So I agree. I think the countdown to your next stay is a great way to use this campaign or extend this campaign. Adam, what about you? You going to put it in a funnel?
What's that, Stuart? You might have to bleep that out. This is an interesting question for me because I would love to see what the expansion of this is. Obviously, I've only seen the TV spot that came along with it. I think there's a lot of different ways to do it. My concern would be when you have a 10-second countdown, it could be a little bit of a narrow execution. Like it might be difficult to expand that into a 3-year campaign with a variety of different types of executions. And so I would love to see what the plan is for that. That doesn't mean that I think anything negative about that campaign because I still think it's great and great execution for what I saw. But my questions would be around how do we really commit to this for the next 3 years? And how do people not get sick of every episode or every video or audio, whatever, being that 10-second countdown? How do we expand on the idea without limiting ourselves?
So I mean, let's invite them on, right? Let's bring folks from the Space Coast onto the show to talk about this campaign. How did it come about? What are they doing next with it? That's an open invitation to anyone.
And I think it has to be, Adam, to your point, I think it would have to be about the anticipation of the countdown itself. It's not about the numbers, it's not about the 10, it's not about those things necessarily. It's about what does that sound do for us as people? And it makes us really like stop for a second and be like, oh, I'm almost there.
Yeah, it's tension. It creates that tension, right? With an anticipation that, I mean, that's why it evokes an emotion because we've all been there. Every human
Totally.
being, in North America has seen a launch, right? Whether in person or on a screen, they've seen it. They understand. They immediately understand the stakes that are there. They understand the amount of energy and effort that's gone into that, and how that one moment of liftoff is such a powerful moment, and the anticipation, the stakes, the thrill, the tension, it's all there. It's like it's perfect. It's perfect. And they bottled that into a commercial, which is tremendous. So kudos. Kudos to you guys at the Space Coast. Well-deserved victory at Florida.
And hopefully it goes from commercial to campaign. I would be really excited to see that they solved for that.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, let's move on. So I mean, hopefully Stu's News lived up to your expectations, Sarah, but I know you are going to deliver beyond our expectations in this next segment. So this is your topic. I called you or texted you and said, hey, we're doing this crazy thing, Adam and I, and what do you think about being on this? I like to debate and spar with you. It's a lot of fun. So what topic would you want to talk about? And you immediately gravitated to this topic, right? You said, I think DMOs are getting the strategy right, but they're getting the tactics wrong. So tell us what you mean by that, and then we're gonna have a good old discussion.
Hold on, who's that dog in the background?
That is Clementine Peter. Clementine Peter is a 14-year-old brown and white for when this turns into a podcast hound. And so she's allowed to do whatever the heck she wants. And so she is in all of my any call she wants to be in.
Fantastic. Okay,
That's
sorry.
fair.
Go ahead, Sarah. I had to
It's
know.
also amazing that she has the same last name as you. It's such a
Amazing, isn't
coincidence.
it? Yes, she, I'm a bleeding heart. She was left on the side of the road as a puppy, and then we took her ever since. So, well, and here's the thing. I think we are all, I think, enrolling off of awards. You just talked about an award at Governor's Conference. We're all sort of rolling off conferences and award shows. And when I sent you that text, Stuart, we were, I think, just rolling off of Esto. And I always like to think about sort of what we've seen and heard, not just in the awards, but just in overall content and programming and things like that. And I came off there thinking, destination organizations have really evolved, right? Where they're using data better. They're using data better than maybe 5 years ago. They're mining for it more. They're to varying degrees applying empathy and insight to it. And so everybody's sort of strategically, you hear a lot about hyperlocal. You hear a lot about personal stories and storytelling. And then someone said story listening and all those things. And I just thought, an AI is going to do it too, right? The AI prompt is going to make people really ask more specific, detailed questions. And so we will have to respond to that as well. So I was rolling off of that and I just thought, okay, well, that's the positive side, right? Like that's really exciting. But then what washed over me at a lot of these shows is that the tactic is always some type of video-driven content, generally speaking, that we're all putting out in the world. And so whether it's being put out in syndicated content or whether it's putting out in sponsored content or whether it's being put out and we're meeting them where they are in other platforms, there's a lot of stories of being told in very similar ways. And what struck me was, is that the right thing to do? Right? What is that the right thing to do? Because is there a point where there's so many stories and so much content that all the places start to blend together? And we're no longer creating community around things. We are actually just pumping out the same thing formulaically over and over and over and over again. And it looks like a big old montage spot. So that was sort of my question. And then I started thinking about, well, Sarah, don't be negative. How about we talk about ways that we could help people articulate that insights or strategy differently? And so I know you guys feel very strongly about storytelling. So I thought it would make an interesting conversation.
Yeah. Adam, you want to react to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think my initial reaction is I don't know that I disagree with you as much as maybe it would seem like I would based on what you said, because I think there's a lot of similar and we're all in the sea of sameness in a lot of cases with what we're doing, and that goes for whether we're doing regular campaigns and that's why we liked the Space Coast campaign that we talked about earlier. It was different, right? And so I agree with you that a lot of it's the same. The place where I might disagree with you is I still believe that video-driven storytelling, because of the way the consumer behaves and the consumer consumes content right now, I think it's probably the best way to reach people. The problem is, this is why your content has to be tied to some sort of an interest. And I think just telling the story of the local business owner, nobody's searching story of local business owner in Myrtle Beach in the search bar, right? So, for example, my podcast that I have or that I've had for years before Stuart and I started this is called the Destination Marketing Podcast. Well, people that are interested in destination marketing found that podcast pretty easily, right? Traveling the Spectrum, the project that Visit Myrtle Beach has been working on for the last couple of years. People who are interested in stories of families with autism and how to travel if you have someone with autism in your family, I think that's an interest-based piece of content. And so storytelling for the sake of storytelling, I'm with you 100%. Storytelling to try to build a community around a specific interest, I believe is the way we're going to reach people we wouldn't have reached otherwise. So I'd say you're correct with some nuance attached.
Well, I thought
you might. Can I disagree with both of you?
Ooh.
I don't know if that's possible. No, I kind of agree and kind of disagree with what both of you said. So I agree in principle with Adam, which disagrees a little bit with Sarah, that video is probably the best platform. But I also think it shouldn't be your exclusive platform. I think you should be exploring audio. I think you should be still exploring written. And I think eventually the conversational voice conversation is going to become a large part of travel. So I think you got to look at medium. But I think the fundamental problem is on the definition of the word story, right?
Yes.
And I think most DMOs think that if they do interview that local business owner and put it in a video, then that's a story. And for me, when I joined this industry, one of the first things I did was went and read a lot of books on story. I subscribed to Audible and I had a bunch of credits saved up. And I literally downloaded like 10 books on storytelling, like the neuroscience of storytelling and why story is so powerful and just a myriad of stuff and what makes a good story and the format of storytelling. And I got to tell you, I think everyone that's in a DMO marketing role needs to go do that. They need to go understand what story means. To us, we sort of boiled it down to something a little oversimplified, but we call it people, passion, and purpose. It has to have something that connects with people emotionally, but then it has to follow the format of a story. It has to have things like stakes and tension and resolution and all the things that have been well documented for centuries about storytelling and what connects. Humans respond to story. But I think what we as DMOs tend to do and make the mistake is we think we're the story. The destination is the story. We're the hero of the story. And even, I went through a phase where, and I even said this on stage at eTourism a couple of years ago, that we're not the hero of the story, we're the guide. And I've even evolved from that because I don't know that we are necessarily or have to be the guide. I think we're the method in which the story manifests. We're the facilitator of the story, but that doesn't necessarily mean we're the author or the storyteller or the hero. It just means we've got to be sort of the minor to find the story and help it come to fruition. And what that means is going to be different for every story. But I think we can either fund a project, we can amplify someone else that's telling a story. So I think what we've got to do is stop thinking of a story of just, hey, let's show people enjoying our destination and start thinking about what's actually going to make an emotional connection with people. And Adam, this is where I don't necessarily agree with you. I think a lot of times that is connecting on an interest, something that you have relevant is a way to do that. And you can be super niche with that. But I think humans are humans. And there's a category called human interest stories, right? And so I think you can connect with people on a visceral level, regardless of what the subject matter is. I think there's a lot of people that have no interest per se, physical interest in autism spectrum disorder, that are going to get a lot out of the Traveling the Spectrum show. Because it's a human story at its heart. It's a story about parents. It's a story about relationships. It's a story about the power of travel. It's a lot of different stories and that are going to mean different things to different people. But I think we've got to get out of our own way and stop thinking that we are the story or the destination of the story. If you tell a great story and the destination is in the backdrop of that story, it's going to lead to interest in your destination. We've seen that throughout cinema, right? Lord of the Rings was set in New Zealand. Well, not set in New Zealand. It's obviously set in Middle Earth. But it was shot in New Zealand.
You didn't really watch that show.
That's what the cliff notes will do to you right there.
That's right. Wait, Mordor wasn't in Wellington? I always thought it was. But it was shot there, right? And you look at Game of Thrones, right? These fictional destinations that have now turned into real tourism because it was actually shot there. So I think you can do storytelling that isn't even about your destination in your destination. And it still will lead to tourism and interest. So I don't know. That's me rambling for a bit. Love for you to react.
Yeah. I mean, and ahead, I think, Adam, I don't know, you might want to go next because I'm going to take us, I think, in a little bit different direction. But I think the other where I'd like to go too is to say, if that is important, video storytelling is important. obviously it's important to meet the consumer where they are, right? Obviously it's important if that's the behavior of the consumer, going to them and not expecting that they're going to come to us is important, right? So that people can be seen and representation is important so they feel like they belong. All of that are human emotions that are important. What I don't, it's not an and or. What I think though, a destination organization could go that one step further, right? Stuart, like you talked about, where are they going to take the campaign next? And instead, talk about other ways that you could tell that story. That are maybe more actionable, that are maybe more product driven, that are maybe more offline and not online, right? I mean, and so when we stimulate conversation with destinations, we try to get everybody to think about, again, a design thinking, right? Design thinking in terms of solving, how could you solve a problem or how could you make life more meaningful for someone, but really in a sense that might be more product driven. So tell a story in a different way. Don't always tell the story the same way.
Well, and Sarah, I think that was my problem with you know Stuart's reaction to especially on the human interest side is the problem with looking at human interest as a story category is that it's going to become a crutch and fallback for every single story people want to tell. And so I agree with you, Stuart, that human interest is a category. But it's not a category that everybody can do well. And like you said in the beginning, it has to have all the different components of a story, the struggle, the toil, and the overcoming and all of that. And so I look at traveling the spectrum and go back to it here. While people that didn't originally have an interest in autism travel might get a lot out of traveling the spectrum, they will have interest in that moving forward. You will have created that interest through the connection that you made with them. And I don't want to get too caught up in like the definition of interest and deciding whether or not that's like, I don't think it's worth our time to take the entire conversation that route. But I don't want anyone listening to think that human interest can be this big bucket that you can just throw every story into, which gives you the justification to put the resources into telling that story.
Yeah, and that makes sense. I mean, you've got to have a connection with someone that's relevant to them, right? We everyone that watches any story that's lived on beyond its initial launch, they see themselves in the characters, right? They see and they think it, whether consciously or subconsciously, how would I react in this situation? Like that's really important part of why stories are powerful because it influences our feelings, our thoughts, and our ultimately our behaviors. And so we look to stories for inspiration. We look to stories for cautionary tales. Like there's a lot of reasons we look, but ultimately it's about what does it mean to us as an individual. And so I think you're right. You can't be generic, right? But I think every story has to have some kind of hook, some kind of why that people will care. And one of the things we've started doing, I mean, with your help, really at Relic, Adam, is when we start a new project, whether that's a podcast or a YouTube series or something, we start with the why. Like, what is, what, why will someone care? Like, who's the audience for this, and why will they care about this show? Like, what's in it for them? What value do they derive? How will they see themselves? How will they change and evolve and improve? And that I think that's an important question that isn't asked enough by DMOs.
Yeah, and absolutely. And Adam and I actually, in one of our first conversations, we debated this topic a little bit too, because I think when we go back to why did you start Tourism IQ? Why did destination organizations spend, God only knows, 5 years talking about the language of what the M should stand for, which I think is the most absurd thing on the planet. But at the end of the day, it's because what is the If we know destination organizations need to show value, we know that they need to show value. So is their value, like, is the value about telling a story? Is their job to tell a story, or is their job to help people? You can have both, but the reason I think traveling the spectrum really works is maybe different than the reason both of you think it works. I think it works because it really took a nugget of something that someone was struggling with. The nugget that people that have families with autism don't travel, they can't, or they're scared to, or they can and they don't know. And it took that nugget and it tried to really be purposeful in its intent. And so the story came from that, right? And so, and then I hope that what's going to happen once it gets out there in big ways is that then it will link to those products that actually help people travel. So Stuart, tell people, because I don't know that people know this, you know, that there is in Myrtle Beach, there's private companies that help do this for people. And so just tell your audience a little bit about that, because without that, I feel like it would be just a story and it wouldn't be as good.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you're right in the kernel of an idea that came was really because we had done a lot of work here in our community. And by we, I take zero credit for that. It was a lot of people before I even joined the DMO that had done that work, that had trained a lot of frontline workers on how to recognize the challenges related to autism or neurodiversity, to accommodate some of those needs. And we trained over 2,000 people, including accommodations, restaurants, attractions. We got our local municipalities involved, first responders have been trained, and we created a product that was better than the average, right? It was an improvement on the experience that people were having in other destinations. And then when I came along and I stumbled across this IBC CES stat at the time in 2019, 87% of families with someone on the spectrum didn't travel, didn't take family vacations together. I mean, that just broke my heart. And it was really the combination of bringing these two things together. Hey, wait, we have a product that allows people to travel with a little more comfort and a little more ease. It reduces the stigma, reduces the friction. And there's a lot of people that aren't traveling for a variety of reasons. And can we solve that specific problem? So we didn't really start by saying, how do we tell a story about this, right? We started by saying, how do we solve the problem? And that manifested in a couple of things. One was a storybook, a children's book, and then the other was a TV show. And we said, we don't know what the story is, but we believe that if we showcase the experience, the good, the bad, and the meltdowns, because we're not guaranteed it's going to be a positive experience, it will encourage others to potentially take the risk to travel as well. And as a byproduct, it's going to showcase Myrtle Beach in a positive light and highlight all this amazing stuff we've done. So at no point in the show, six episodes, do we say, hey, look, Myrtle Beach is amazing. The audience gets to see that for themselves and make that correlation themselves. What the audience is watching is stories that we didn't create. We just documented. And that goes back to what I was talking earlier. We don't necessarily need to even be the guide of the story or the storyteller. We can just be the facilitator for the story to get told. And in this case, we documented families and their struggles through a vacation experience. And fortunately, we came through a story arc on camera that was phenomenal, where people really had self-realization and growth. They took the hero's journey in some cases right on camera. And that wasn't contrived. It wasn't manufactured. It was just documented. And so I think that's why this show is going to be so impactful.
Yeah, I want to make sure though that we clarify that pulling on the heartstrings is one amazing way to connect with an audience. There's also humor. There's also capitalizing on momentum from a current cultural trend, or there's a variety of different ways to connect. But you have to make them feel something. And I think there's a ton of storytelling. And Sarah, this is back to your original point. And for those that are just listening, I'm using quotation marks here, air quotes, storytelling that doesn't make anyone feel anything. And I think regardless of what connection you're trying to make with the audience, if you don't make them feel something, they're not going to do anything. And I don't want anybody to get pigeonholed into. Everything has to be super purpose driven. Everything doesn't have to be like accessibility focused. Like, there's a variety of different types of ways to connect with an audience. But if you're not making them feel anything through your storytelling, it is a waste of time.
Yeah. And that goes through, I think, no matter what the tactical creation is, right? I mean, you know, and I think but Stuart, one of the things that I really like about this example, and I have two others that one I had a hand in and one I didn't, that I think talks about stories from a different perspective, is that you are really an incubator. right? You're struggling for the word for what we should, how, what we should call your role in that, you know, in that process. And you were really an incubator, right? You brought different people together. So you were a connector, but you didn't just bring them together to bring them together. You brought them together with a purpose to design a thing, and to make an experience better. And you weren't quite sure what that was going to be, at that moment, but you just knew that there was this problem and this opportunity. And then you brought people together to expand. And I think the thing that I would, that I'll riff off of a little bit, if you guys give me the luxury, is like, to me, that is truly, if destination organizations could see themselves more as incubators for those types of things, then whether it manifests itself in a story that's awesome and makes people feel great things, you have to do that, right? To just get let people on people's radar, or it manifests itself in a different tactic. You still start with the basic premise of what is a destination organization supposed to do? And I think that to me is what's exciting about where it could go. It's not about the story. It's about the listening part. It's about the incubator part. It's about the product development part that I think we're finally starting to see bits,
Well,
at least domestically in the US,
I
of
think,
that happening.
sorry, Sarah, but I think we may need to get further down the why does a destination organization exist chain a little bit, because if we view ourselves as just an incubator, we may lose the end, because we really exist to make the lives of the residents in the community we serve
Well,
better,
but
right?
I think to defend Sarah, that's not what she said. She said that what we do is an incubator. She didn't say why we exist. So
Agreed.
I agree 100%. I think we exist to improve the quality of lives of our residents. We're actually going to have an episode coming up with Amir Alon from Longwoods to talk about that very thing, about why we exist in a relate is the relationship with our local residents, local stakeholders, the most important relationship we have. Because I agree 100%. But what Sarah said, which is insightful, and why this show exists, because now you've got me thinking in a different way than I was before this episode started, is one of the things we do as the person who improves the quality of life for our residents is we behave as an incubator for those stories to be told. So I love that, Sarah. So
Oh, good. See,
we
see
ganged
Adam.
up on Adam, but
See
move on.
Adam.
I
No,
know.
I think it's
I just
important.
don't
No.
think it ends there. Like I feel
No,
like
right.
that
It's one
captures
of the things, one
part
of
of
the
it.
functions, right?
Right.
It's one, it's a function.
Yeah, I mean, I think, remember, no, you know, again, when we started this whole conversation, we talked about, you know, what, no, we believe you have to believe to make people's lives better, right? You have to believe that that's really what you they are standing for. No, and I don't care whether you're a consultant or whether you're a DMO or whether you are, it doesn't matter. Like you know, you have to really believe that. And you can do that by making people laugh. It doesn't always have to be super serious. But at the end of the day, you have to believe in that. That's why the organization exists. Now, how you do
Adam
that,
can't, by the way. Adam can't make people laugh, but some people can make
I
people
don't
laugh.
know. An awful lot of people listen to him, Stuart. I'm not
Yeah,
sure.
but they're laughing at me, not with me, Sarah. Big difference.
That's
Big
fair.
difference.
That's fair.
Like, here's an example. Okay, but like again, if why are people watching this? What is the takeaway, right? I think where we can improve as an industry, right? You don't. We're not just doing research to measure. We should be doing research to improve, right? And so this podcast should be about what can we do so that people improve, and quality storytelling in its current form is still a way that people can improve. Another way, like, you know, look at after this show, you can't see me if some people, if it's a podcast, but I'm holding two hands up left and right. And I'm saying, look at the difference between US Travel's ESTO award category and, for sake of argument, City Nation Place Global Award category. Go look at that. Go look at those two things. And what I find fascinating is that now, again, they're different. So it's not the same thing. But what I find fascinating is for in the US, a lot of it is defined as marketing programs. A lot of it is defined as advertising, marketing, and that's how you're telling the best story. City Nation Place is actually interesting to me because it is telling stories in different ways. So it's fostering that culture that like Will talked about in his episode of sort of innovation and fostering the culture of incubation in a much broader way. So the Netherlands, who their tourism board is amazing. I don't even work for them, so this is a little close shout out to the Netherlands.
Free advertising.
Yeah, they're amazing. So I don't know if you guys have seen it, but they are really, they know that their culture is about riding bikes, right? They know, and they know all the reasons and the things that why bike riding makes people's lives better, both from the environment, from a physical well-being, all the things. But they want to motivate change for everybody, right? So they didn't do a video necessarily about, or a story about riding bikes or like all the people that ride bikes. They created a thing. They created, I guess you would call it an app, that's called Add a Touch of Dutch to Your Street. And it's really cool, you guys. It is this, it's this interesting, it's, I'm reading it so I don't get it wrong. DutchCyclingLifestyle.com. And basically, you can then, using AI, take a picture of any street anywhere, and it will actually frame it back up as if it was a biking city. And what that biking city would do for the city itself. And that tells the story immediately in a totally different way than audio, visual, or words on why it is better all, to motivate people to ride bikes, motivate cities and city design. I mean, come on. So, like, those are the things that I just feel like should make the board also. And
That's cool.
so,
Can you give that URL one more time for the audience?
yes, it is. And I, again, I don't even work for them.
Mm-hmm.
Dutch, DUTCH, cycling, CYCLING, lifestyle.com. And if you go to City Nation Place, and I don't work for them either, but if you go to City Nation Place and you look at the awards being handed out, it is just a massive difference between how they're looking at awards and innovation and how, marketing organizations are looking at their approach.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
We're running short on time. I'm going to put that link in the show notes. But any final thoughts from you, Sarah? I think we ended up agreeing, disagreeing along the way. We meandered. We chewed up the topic. We spat it back out. But I think we kind of ended up in alignment for the most part, right?
Yeah.
About storytelling. And I love your insight about incubator. I think that's the word I was probably looking for. I'm going to have to steal that. But
You're
any
welcome.
final thoughts for our audience?
I mean, from my perspective, I think just for all destinations that are listening, no matter what you're doing, don't be afraid to think about tactics differently. Don't be, don't, it's hard to take a risk. It's scary, but don't be afraid to take insight and then challenge your agencies that you work with to think about different tactical executions that could come across based on the same insight.
Great. Adam, final thoughts.
I just want to go back to Sarah's original point that just creating a video to tell a story is not the end all be all, even though it's the popular solution right now. The storytelling has to be really good. And it has to matter whether it has to matter to the end customer, whether that's in the form of being interest-based or whether it connects, pulls at the heartstrings, humor, whatever. So I think I love some of the insights that Sarah's brought today, specifically to talk about storytelling doesn't have to just mean a lazy video and an uninteresting story. Like I think we really have to do a little bit more digging before we do some of the storytelling and the incubation of ideas. I like that as well. I misunderstood you, Sarah. So I thought you were going a little further with that, but the fact that we need to incubate ideas and then amplify them as a DMO, I really like that. So
Yeah, well
yeah,
said.
I great discussion, Sarah. Really appreciate you coming on. It's been really insightful for me as well.
Great. Sarah, if people want to get hold of you and learn more about you and your company, where can they do that?
Yeah, I mean, you can easily always email me. I'm off the grid, as you know, Stuart. I am very hidden. I'm the best kept secret. But you can always email me at sarah@noluggage.studio. And get a hold of me that way. And you'll see me also floating around all kinds of industry events and whatnot as well.
Awesome. Adam, they want to get hold of you.
Adam@relicagency.com.
And if you want to get hold of me, it's stuart.butler@visitmodelbeach.com. I think you can probably find most of us too on LinkedIn. If you want to be on the show, you want to be part of the discussion, this is for
come
the
argue
industry.
With us.
Yeah, we'd love to have this debate. And I'd love to gang up with more people against Adam. That's my favorite thing in the world to do.
It's so, also really fun to make sure you tell people no pressure. It's good stuff.
Yeah, we're kind, we're gentle. But this is, you know, part love letter to the industry. It's part therapy. It's part of masterclass. And we're trying to move everyone forward together. Let's try to be better tomorrow than we were today. But thank you for watching and listening, everyone. Until next time, this has been Destination Discourse.
I wasn't prepared for such a formal experience.